Greetings and welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. The Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
In our verse-by-verse study through Paul's epistle to the Romans, we have now examined thoroughly the three verses which many scholars believe to be the most important section in all the Bible, namely Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. And I will read it again. Being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And those three verses set forth the doctrinal and theological foundation for salvation by grace in terms that are so clear and comprehensive that it is very difficult to misunderstand or even to twist and distort what is said in these verses. And there are, as we have seen, three major doctrines of salvation that are dealt with here. Number one, justification. Number two, redemption. And number three, propitiation. And if you will understand those three doctrines correctly and thoroughly, I don't think you will ever become confused about the Bible doctrine of salvation. Because in these verses we have a concise but comprehensive statement of the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. There are actually many testimonies of well-known Christian leaders from history who obtained peace with God by meditating upon the message of this very passage. Listen to the testimony of John Bunyan, the author of The Pilgrim's Progress from the 17th century, who along with, and wrote many other titles as well, by the way, and spent 12 years in prison in Bedford, England, for preaching the gospel without being licensed by the state church. And Bunyan came to assurance of salvation while meditating upon the words of Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He records that it was as if God was speaking to him and saying, Sinner, thou thinkest that because of thy sins and infirmities I cannot save thy soul, but behold, my Son is by me, and upon Him I look, and not upon thee, and I will deal with thee according as I am pleased with Him. Now, if we will extract the Elizabethan English out of that statement so that it becomes a little more common to our modern American ears, that statement will show us the way of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Let me see if I can read that statement again and iron out the antique English. Sinner, you think that because of your sins and infirmities, I cannot save your soul. But, look, my Son is by me, and upon Him I look, and not upon you, and I will deal with you according as I am pleased with Him. That's it. That's it. That's salvation, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and that's how it works. Now today we are going to come to the concluding section of this chapter, Romans 3, verses 27 through 31, to three practical, vital, and necessary implications from the great doctrine of justification by faith alone. Three essential truths, underscored by asking and answering three questions. 1 in 27, 1 in 29, and 1 in 31. Because Paul is here, once again, answering his critics, you find this kind of language in so many of Paul's epistles. He was keenly aware of the critics and objectors to the gospel of salvation by grace. He knew the charges which they were making against him and against his message, and he often answered them in his epistles. And so he is teaching to us the same practical implications of this great doctrine. And we could summarize these three verses in the following three statements. Because salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, these three things. Number one, no boasting, verses 27 and 28. Number two, no discrimination, verses 29 and 30. And number three, no lawlessness, verse 31. Now, before we get into that, let me pause and not only welcome you to this Thursday, June 2 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, but encourage you to contact us to receive our Sermon of the Month number 6, entitled, The Strangling Chokehold of Covetousness. Not everybody likes to hear a message like that, but I think that's the very reason why this kind of message is so needed for the health of our souls. The Strangling Chokehold of Covetousness from Luke 12:15. We'll send you a copy on cassette tape, or if you specify, on CD. If you'll write and give us your name and address, the call letters of the station, and mention that you'd like to receive Sermon of the Month number 6, you can use snail mail or email. Snail mail address, P.O. Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or you can email us at beacon@netpath.net. All right, no boasting. Romans 3:27 and 28. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. No boasting. The question is, where is the place for boasting in your doctrine of justification? I guess that is the way the question was being presented. And the objection is, if what you teach is true, there's no place for men to take any credit for their salvation whatsoever. And Paul says, that's right. That's the point. That's why God designed it this way. Boasting is excluded. It's banished. It's shut out once and for all. Now, how is that possible? By works? By the principle of law? No. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. Salvation by works gives much room for boasting, and I'm sure you can understand that. If I am saved in whole or in part by what I do, then I have pride in what I've done, and I have a place to boast, to call attention to my works, to commend myself because of what I have done. And many times when you ask people about their relationship with God, whether or not they are a Christian, they begin by reciting their good works. Now, I recognize that in their minds they may be jumping from the question of salvation to the question of assurance, of evidence of salvation. And we realize that those two different subjects are often confused. And when it comes to the question of assurance of salvation, works are part of the answer to how can I know that I'm safe. It's not the whole answer by any means, but it is part of the answer. We do look for fruit. We do look for evidence. Those who have been truly born again will reflect that by a changed life, and the evidence of that is the works that grow out of their genuine faith. So I understand that sometimes when people start reciting their works, they are trying to give the evidence of their faith. But you see, the problem is, when people have been genuinely saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, They're not inclined to boast. The evidence that they're looking for in regard to their salvation is not something that they parade before other people. They're looking for it in their own lives to assure themselves before God. They may be looking for it quietly in the lives of their friends and family and loved ones as they're trying to discern whether these people are truly saved or not. But it is not something that they trumpet, because God teaches us by His Spirit that all the glory goes to Christ and none to ourselves. So a person who's truly relying on Christ alone for salvation is not likely to start talking about his church attendance, his baptism, his good works when he's asked about his salvation, about his standing before God, about his relationship with Jesus Christ. A person who has truly been saved by the grace of God, when asked about that, is more likely to say, "I am a sinner, deserving of condemnation, but I have cast myself upon the mercy of God. I'm trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation, and God in His mercy has saved me by faith. I'm trusting in Christ, and that is my only claim to being a Christian. I am trusting Jesus Christ and Him alone." Sometimes in evangelism, we teach people to ask this question when they're trying to talk to people about their relationship with God. And the question is, if you should die and stand before God in heaven today, and He should say to you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" what would you say? And the answer to that is very, very revealing. That's why it is a pretty good question. I don't always use it, but I do sometimes use it. I try personally not to have a mechanical and canned approach to witnessing. I think it's actually better to listen to what the other person says, try to pick up clues from what they say, and try to tailor my remarks to what that person reveals about where they are in their thinking. But sometimes it's just very helpful to ask a question like this. If you should die today and stand before God, and He should say to you, "Why should I let you into heaven?" what would you say? And your answer to that question will probably reveal the state of your soul, your standing before God. What would you say? And if you would say, and I've heard things like this so many times, "I'm trying to do the best I can. I've always tried to be a good Christian. I've gone to church. I paid my tithes. I've been baptized. I've tried to be a good neighbor, tried to be a good father, good mother. I've tried to be a good citizen. I've worked hard all my life." If those are the kind of things that come out of your mouth when you are asked the question by God, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" then you don't understand salvation by grace. Because that is boasting. You are listing your accomplishments and boasting about them, and offering them to God as the reason why He should save you. And you don't understand that none of those things can save you. None of those things do save you. If you're relying upon them, you have never been justified. "Why should God let you into His heaven?" "Because I am trusting in your Son and Him alone. Because Jesus died for me. Because my only righteousness is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ." That's the answer that you want to hear. That's the answer that you want to give. I trust that is your answer today. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.